Get abstract. Knowledge compressed.
Numbers are nothing without a story, and a story needs numbers to back it up. In Narrative and Numbers, published by Columbia University Press, New York University finance professor Ashwath Damodaran provides an intriguing, insightful look into combining number crunching with storytelling. Get Abstract recommends this illuminating guide to valuing companies to investors and managers seeking to master the use of storytelling in investing. From a young age, people divide into two distinct groups. One tribe focuses on numbers, the other on storytelling. Children who are adept with figures tend to study engineering, math, or accounting. Pupils who thrive on words belong to the tribe of storytellers. They study history, literature, or philosophy. As both groups enter the workforce, they can scarcely communicate with one another, let alone build mutual trust. Investors and managers must bridge the divide between numbers and narrative. A business valuation that lacks the support of an underlying story comes across as soulless and unreliable. A story that doesn't have numerical support might be a scam. A business needs intriguing narratives to share with its investors, customers, and employees. Even a great product won't sell itself without an underlying story. Valuation is where the two tribes find common ground. Numbers make storytellers recognize when their stories don't make sense. Stories compel the numbers tribe to acknowledge when its figures lack credibility. In sports, storytelling has long dominated the practice of picking players. The narrative focused on which promising prospects displayed the raw talent to succeed. But baseball's Oakland Athletics judged players by the statistics the players produced on the field. This approach swept the sports world, but the rise of statistics is more pronounced in financial markets, where powerful new tools manipulate vast amounts of data. Amid such a data overload, numbers can overwhelm investors. As the amount of information proliferates, people trust numbers less and revert to stories. Bean counters can become storytellers by following a five-step storyboarding process. First, develop a story about the firm. Consider its growth prospects and competitive landscape. Second, apply the 3 P's test: possibility, plausibility, and probability. If it's probable, you may have a winner. If not, delve into the numbers to research the likelihood that the story will yield profits. Third, connect the story to the numbers: market potential, cash flows, risk mitigation. These statistics and others can back up your narrative. Fourth, once you have a legitimate story and the supporting numbers, create a valuation model that ties it all together. Apply the story to estimate the revenue, operating margins, and tax rates. Finally, constantly test your story. Storylines change when facts change. Economic shifts, management churn, and new regulations could make a story that was true yesterday untrue today. A good valuation narrative mixes emotion and logic, so remember these rules. First, form a clear picture of your customer, your vision, and the reasons your firm will succeed. Second, gear your story to the listeners. Employees, investors, and customers will each connect with different aspects of your story. Tailor your tale to its different stakeholders. Third, provide details. You must specify what your company offers that no one else provides. And finally, show, don't tell. Steve Jobs was a master of this skill. He unveiled Apple's new products as part of his storytelling. Amazon's dominant narrative has been the Field of Dreams story. In this scenario, Amazon pursues top-line growth at the expense of profitability. It expects to achieve its desired market share, raise prices, and transform itself into a solidly profitable enterprise. In its more optimistic scenario, Amazon's expansion into cloud computing and entertainment could lead to hefty profit margins. Amazon could so decimate its competition that it would face no meaningful rivals. If that story plays out, Amazon becomes a much more valuable company. But if it were to face an onslaught of competition that kept profit margins low, then it would become a less valuable investment. Convert the story you prefer into numbers to determine how much you should pay for an Amazon share. Under the Field of Dreams scenario, revenue growth is 15% per year for 5 years and then slows. Amazon continues to discount prices, and its operating margin rises to 7.38% by year 10. In the optimistic scenario, revenue growth is 20% per year for 5 years before declining, and Amazon's operating margin jumps to 12.84%. In the pessimistic scenario, growth remains at 15% for 5 years and then slows, achieving a margin of just 2.85%. The valuation model factors in other financial metrics, including Amazon's tax rate, its pace of reinvestment, and its cost of capital. In the Field of Dreams scenario, as of October 2014, the value of an Amazon share was $175.25. The stock was trading at $287.06 at the time, underscoring the inexact nature of even detailed valuation models. If a sober and exhaustive analysis yields a valuation that is very different from the current market value, your assumptions don't match those of the market. Under the pessimistic scenario, a share of Amazon would be worth just $32.72. In the optimistic scenario, the share would be worth $450.34. This value swing emphasizes that uncertainty is part of the process. Valuation modeling can estimate present value down to the penny, but that doesn't mean your story or estimate is the infallible truth. Ferrari guards the exclusivity of its product by manufacturing a limited number of cars. It boasts hefty margins but deliberately paltry growth. By focusing on wealthy customers who aren't sensitive to shifts in the broader economy, Ferrari insulates itself from the cyclicality that many automakers experience. In an alternative story, Ferrari could accelerate sales growth by introducing a more affordable car. Under the slow growth theory, Ferrari's sales growth would be 4% per year for 5 years. Its operating margin would be 18.2%, and its cost of capital would be just under 7%. This yields an enterprise value of 6.3 billion euros. In the fast growth version, Ferrari grows at 12% per year, and its margin falls to 14.3%. The cost of capital rises to 8% because the super rich are more reliable clients than the merely rich. In that story, the company is worth 6 billion euros. Ferrari went public at a valuation of 9 billion euros, underscoring the inexact nature of valuation in storytelling. Ferrari is a luxury brand with a broader reach than its core business, and it spawns an entirely different story and a richer valuation. If you are an investor, keep these tips in mind when listening to a valuation narrative. First, don't be intimidated. Anyone can grasp the basics of accounting and the math required to properly value companies. Second, there's no magic bullet. Don't expect to hit upon a secret recipe that will help you find undervalued companies. Third, valuation trends change. Ben Graham's Security Analysis is a classic guide to value investing. Its formulas have grown irrelevant, but you can use it to frame your underlying approach. Fourth, you can be right and still not make money. Valuation remains subjective. You can correctly identify an undervalued stock and still fail to make a profitable trade. Corporate managers should consider some guidelines. First, take control of your story. Your job is to deliver a compelling, plausible account of your company. If you don't, analysts, journalists, and investors will frame the story for you. Second, be flexible. Adjust your narrative as your firm's financial reality shifts. Continually retest your story. And finally, apply discipline to your storytelling. If your story features skyrocketing growth and unlimited possibilities, you'll suffer if your results don't match your optimism.
For more summaries on this and other topics, visit getabstract.com.